الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم The blessings of kissing the thumbs Supplication of Attar Almighty Lord, whosoever reads or listens to the booklet The blessings of kissing the thumbs May you grant them the fortune of always kissing their thumbs during the Adhan and Iqamah up to their final breath. Preserve the light of their eyes and forgive them and their parents without accountability. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A salat upon the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That is a means of forgiveness. Allama Yusuf bin Ismail al-Nabhani rahmatullahi alayhi writes, In the Moroccan city of Fez, there lived a devotee of the beloved Prophet. Whenever she was afflicted by any distress or felt anxious, she would place both her hands on her face, close her eyes and say, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. By the blessing of the name of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, her distress would be removed. When this prophetic devotee passed away, a relative saw her in a dream and asked, Auntie, did you see Munkar and Nakir, the two angels who question in the grave? She replied, Yes, they came to me. When I saw them, according to my habit, I placed both hands on my face and said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. When I removed my hands from my face, both of them had departed. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon her and grant us forgiveness without accountability for her sake. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد Why do you no longer kiss your thumbs? Approximately 700 years ago, the commentator of the Noble Quran, Sheikh Nuruddin Al-Khurasani rahmatullahi alayhi, heard the muadhin utter, أشهد أن محمد رسول الله during the Azan. He then kissed his two thumbs and rubbed his nails against his eyelids. When the muadhin said it a second time, he repeated the action. He was asked the reason for this, to which he replied, I used to kiss my thumbs and place them upon my eyes, but later I stopped doing this and began to suffer from an eye ailment. I saw the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in a dream. He asked, Why have you stopped placing your thumbs on your eyes at the time of the Adhan? If you desire for your eyes to be cured, start kissing your thumbs again. Then I awoke and performed the act of kissing my thumbs and my eyes were cured. Alhamdulillah, since then my eyes have never ailed me. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon him and may he grant us forgiveness without accountability for his sake. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. O devotees of the beloved Prophet, kissing the thumbs with love and reverence upon hearing the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has been the practice of Muslims from the beginning. Moreover, this blessed act is also proven from the respected father of all mankind, Prophet Adam Safi'ullah alayhi salam. Surely, fortunate children emulate their father in good deeds. Prophet Adam alayhi salam kissed his thumbs. Sheikh Ismail Haqqi Hanafi rahmatullahi alayhi, demise 1137 AH, a great scholarly personality from 300 years ago, writes in his Quranic commentary, Ruh al-Bayan. A narration mentions that angels used to follow Prophet Adam alayhi salam. When he asked why they did so, he was told that the light of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his bank, and they were viewing it. Later, this light would manifest as the final prophet. Prophet Adam alayhi salam then supplicated, "O Allah Almighty, move this light from behind to in front instead, so that the angels do not come to view it from behind." After this, the light began to shine from his forehead, and the angels started viewing it from the front. Prophet Adam alayhi salam then requested in the divine court, "O Allah, I also desire to see the light of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." Subsequently, that light appeared on his thumbs, so he kissed his thumbs. Why do we kiss our thumbs? Subhanallah. Those devotees of the noble Prophet who fervently kiss their thumbs and place them on their eyes out of reverence and love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are deserving of divine mercy. This is because Allah Almighty has commanded every believer to honor and revere his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the noble Quran. It is stated in Juz 26, Surah Al-Fath, verse 9. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وتعزروه وتوقروه وتسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. Support him, the messenger, revere him and glorify him, Allah, morning and evening. Here is a simplified presentation of the beautiful commentary by the Imam of Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh, on this blessed verse. He says, "May Allah Almighty grant us true love and sincere reverence for His beloved, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in our hearts, and may He grant all of us death upon this. Ameen ya arhamar rahimeen." O Muslims, behold, the very purpose of your Lord Almighty sending the religion of Islam and revealing the glorious Quran is to teach three things. Number one, that people believe in Allah Almighty and the Messenger. Number two, that they revere the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number three, that they remain in the worship of Allah Almighty. O Muslims, just look at the beautiful sequence of these three most important matters. First, the mention of belief, i.e. iman. Last, his worship, and in between, the reverence of his beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is because without belief, reverence is useless, as it would be mere outward veneration. Had there been true reverence for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the heart, people certainly would have embraced belief. Furthermore, until there is true reverence for the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a whole lifetime spent in the worship of Allah Almighty is all in vain and rejected. For further information, please read Tamheed-e-Iman bi Ayat-e-Quran. This booklet is on pages 305 to 358 in the 30th volume of Al-Fatawa Al-Radhawiyya. Every Muslim should read this booklet. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. O devotees of the beloved Prophet, the blessed verse mentioned above commands the honor and reverence of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in an absolute sense, without mentioning any restriction as to how one should revere him and how one should not. Therefore, if someone upon hearing the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam lovingly and devotedly kisses their thumbs or the tips of their index fingers and places them on their eyes, they will receive a tremendous reward for revering the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is even possible that this manner of showing respect may become a means for their forgiveness. Granted forgiveness for kissing the blessed name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Wahab bin Munabbih rahmatullahi alayhi relates, there was a man amongst the Bani Israel who disobeyed Allah Almighty for 200 years. When he passed away, the people dragged him by his legs and threw him onto a rubbish heap. Allah Almighty revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam to go and offer his funeral prayer. He submitted, O Allah Almighty, the Bani Israel say that he disobeyed you for 200 years. Allah Almighty stated, that is true. But whenever he opened the Torah, he and saw the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he would kiss it, place it on his eyes, and send salat upon him. Therefore, I have accepted this deed of his, forgiven his sins, and married him to 70 hoor of paradise. Dear Islamic brothers, great scholars and esteemed hadith masters, rahmahumullah, have recorded this event in their books. In fact, the narrator, Sayyiduna Wahab bin Munabbih rahmatullahi alayh, is a great tabi'i concerning whom the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, there will be a person in my ummah whose name will be Wahab. Allah Almighty will grant him wisdom. The blessed name of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the Injil. Mawlana Rumi rahmatullahi alayhi writes in his Mathnawi that the blessed name of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was in the Injil. The fortunate would kiss the sacred name out of respect and reverence. By the blessing of this, Allah Almighty protected them from many calamities and misfortunes. Whilst those who showed disrespect to this blessed name were disgraced and humiliated in this world. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The reward for kissing the thumbs at the time of the azan. Allama Ibn Abidin rahmatullahi alayhi, demised 1252 AH, a great scholar and mufti from about 200 years ago, writes in his famous Araddul Muhtar, when the muazzin says, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, it is commendable, I mustahab, for the listener to say, Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah. When he hears these words a second time, he should say, قَرَّتْ عَيْنِي بِكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ اللَّهُمَّ مَتِّعْنِي بِالسَّمْعِ وَالْبَصَرِ. Kiss his thumbs and place them on his eyes. The noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will take such a person with him into paradise. Allama Ibn Abidin rahmatullahi alayhi quotes the following statement of the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from the hadith collection Kitabul Firdaus. Man qabbala zufri ibhamihi 'inda sama'i ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah fil adhani ana qa'iduhu wa mudkhiluhu fi sufufil jannah. The person who kisses the nails of his two thumbs upon hearing ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah in the azan, I will be his leader and will admit him into the rows of paradise. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The action of the first caliph of the Muslims. When the first caliph of the Muslims, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, heard the muazzin say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, he recited the following supplication. أَرَدِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا. He then kissed the inner part of the tips of his two index fingers and placed them on his eyes. Upon this, the beloved Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ stated, من فعل مثل ما فعل خليلي فقد حلت عليه شفاعتي. Whoever does what my beloved friend did, my intercession becomes binding for him. Ab aayi shafaat ki saat ab aayi, zara chain le mere ghabrane wale. Vocabulary: shafaat, intercession; saat, moment; chain, comfort, peace. Explanation of Raza's poetry. Imam Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, describes that faith-refreshing moment when amidst the terrifying scenes and most challenging circumstances of the Day of Judgment, the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will be granted permission to intercede for his ummah by the mercy and favour of Allah Almighty. The Imam rahmatullahi alayhi says, O sinner, O wrongdoer, O you who fear the trial of Judgment Day, be brave, be patient. The time for the intercession of the intercessor of the Ummah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has arrived. Do not panic at the severity of the Day of Judgment. Rather, be calm. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The action of a companion is sufficient for us. Approximately 425 years ago, the great Muhaddith Allama Ali Al-Qari Al-Hanafi rahmatullahi alayhi, demised 1014 AH, after recording the narration concerning the first Caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu states, the action of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr As-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu is sufficient for us as proof for kissing the thumbs, because the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, I make incumbent upon you my sunnah and the sunnah, i.e. the way of my rightly guided caliphs, i.e. the Khulafa al-Rashideen. The rightly guided caliphs refers to the first caliph of the Muslims, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr Siddiq, the second caliph, Sayyiduna Umar al-Faruq, the third caliph, Sayyiduna Uthman, and the fourth caliph, Sayyiduna Ali al-Murtada radiyallahu anhum. Thereafter, Sayyiduna Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiyallahu anhu served as caliph for 6 months. Their caliphate is known as al-Khalifa al-Rashida, rightly guided caliphate. It is also good according to Allah Almighty. Sayyiduna Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, فَمَا رَأَى الْمُسْلِمُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنٌ. That which the Muslims consider good is also good with Allah Almighty. Allama Ali Al-Qari Al-Hanafi rahmatullahi alayhi comments, in this narration where it is stated that which the Muslims consider good, the Muslims referred to here are the scholars who possess knowledge of the book and sunnah and keep themselves away from the unlawful and doubtful matters, i.e. shubuhat. My dear Islamic brothers, the fact that something is permissible and praiseworthy, i.e. mustahsan, in the sight of scholars, pious individuals and the general Muslims, also makes it permissible and praiseworthy with Allah Almighty. And why should this not be so? As the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, inna ummati la tajtami'u ala dalalatin. Indeed, my ummah will not unite upon misguidance. For centuries, the muftis of the religion and the scholars of Islam rahimahumullah have derived numerous rulings from the jurisprudential principles of this hadith. فَمَا رَأَى الْمُسْلِمُونَ حَسَنًا فَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ حَسَنٌ. That which the Muslims consider good is also good with Allah Almighty. These can be seen in the great books of Islamic jurisprudence. The following is one such example. Arranging a grave for oneself during one's lifetime. Approximately 600 years ago, the famous commentator of Sahih al-Bukhari, Allama Badruddin al-Aini rahmatullahi alayhi, stated this principle in his book, Umdatul Qari Sharah Sahih al-Bukhari. Whilst responding to an objection regarding preparing one's grave during one's lifetime. The fact that an act is not proven from the noble companions radiyallahu anhum does not necessitate that the act is impermissible, because that which the Muslims consider good is also good with Allah Almighty, especially in a situation where pious individuals are also performing that act. Furthermore, he relates from the Muhaddith Imam Battal rahmatullahi alayh, who lived 400 years prior to him. A group of pious individuals dug their graves before their death so that they could maintain the thought of the arrival of death. Some people objected to this, saying that not a single companion dug his grave during his lifetime. If arranging a grave during one's life was commendable, i.e. mustahab, then this practice would have been common amongst the noble companions radiyallahu anhum, whereas doing so is not proven from the noble companions radiyallahu anhum. In response, I say that the fact that this act is not proven from any companion does not necessitate that the act is impermissible, because that which the believers consider good is also good with Allah Almighty, especially when the people performing that act are amongst the best of pious individuals. Proof is required to declare something impermissible. Dear Islamic brothers, keep this principle in mind. If something has not been forbidden anywhere in the Sharia, it means that it is permissible. Now that thing will not become impermissible just because someone says so, as a proof from the Sharia is required to declare something impermissible. Some ignorant individuals, in order to trouble the common innocent devotees of the noble Prophet and to lead them astray from the straight path, demand proof for kissing the thumbs or decorating homes for the celebration of the blessed birth of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, or attending a Mawlid procession. However, the proof should be provided by them. Where in the Quran and Hadith has Allah Almighty forbidden these pious deeds and pure acts that to increase the love of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in the hearts? When there is no prohibition anywhere, then why do they spread misunderstanding, causing distress and doubt amongst people? Such people should pause and consider what sacred act, i.e. expressing devotion and love for the blessed name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, they are preventing Muslims from performing. With what face will such people present themselves in the prophetic court on the day of judgment? If only they would repent immediately. Otherwise, they may face severe regret after death. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. The decision is yours. It is customary across the world that when the national anthem is being recited, the entire nation stands in respect, and whoever acts contrary to this is sometimes viewed with disdain. The flag made of cloth is given the salute, which is a sign of honor and reverence. To this day, you will never have heard of anyone in the entire world opposing this act or calling it a sin, even though there is no command for it in the noble Quran and blessed Hadith. And this act was not done in the era of the companions radiyallahu anhum, not even remotely. In fact, the one who speaks negatively about standing or saluting for his beloved nation's anthem may be branded a traitor to the nation. So what title should be given to the one who prevents showing reverence and respect upon hearing the name of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam whenever the pure name is mentioned? O devotees of the noble Prophet, besides the azan, kissing the thumbs and placing them on the eyes upon hearing the blessed name of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, out of love and reverence, is permissible and praiseworthy, ay mustahsan. The pious predecessors and scholars of Islam, rahmahumullah, have been doing this for centuries. The hadith, the events related to the noble companions radiallahu anhum, and the narrations of the pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, regarding kissing the thumbs upon hearing the pure name, are present in books written many hundreds of years ago. The meaning is absolutely clear. This is the way of the pious individuals of Allah Almighty, and we should also act upon it. To further encourage and increase your eagerness for this pious deed, listen to a faith-inspiring parable and make the intention that you will certainly kiss your thumbs upon hearing the blessed name of the greatest Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, inshaAllah. Grit came out of the eye parable. The great muhaddith and pious predecessor Imam al-Sakhawi al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi of approximately 550 years ago writes, a pious predecessor, rahmatullahi alayhi, says, once the wind blew and grit fell into my eye. I became tired trying to remove it, but it did not come out, causing severe pain. He heard the muazzin say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, and recited, Marhaban bi habibi wa qurrati ayni Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The grit immediately came out. When Sayyiduna Rawad rahmatullahi alayhi heard this parable, he said, the virtues, ay the fadail and blessings, ay barakat, of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam are so numerous that such a small matter, either grit coming out of the eye, holds no significance in comparison. May Allah Almighty have mercy upon them, and may He grant us forgiveness without accountability for their sake. Ameen. Bi jahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ik dil hamara kya hai, azar iska kitna. Tumne to chalte phirte murde jila diye hain. Vocabulary: azar, pain, suffering. Chalte phirte murde, walking, corpses, refers to non-Muslims. Jilana: to revive, to bring to life. Explanation of Raza's poetry. O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allah Almighty has granted you the miracle that you bring the dead back to life. The events of this miracle of yours are present in many blessed ahadith. Moreover, by the blessing of your invitation to Islam, such great non-Muslims who were indeed worse than corpses because their hearts were not alive, embraced Islam by reciting the testimony of faith, such that their mention is now an act of worship for us. Since you possess such virtues and perfections, it is not difficult for you to revive, I purify our heart, which has become dead from the darkness of sins. Just cast a merciful glance upon our unclean heart as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. The eyes shall never ache. The great muhaddith Imam al-Sakhawi al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi writes, Sayyiduna Khidr alayhi salam said, the person who upon hearing the muazzin declare, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, says, مرحبا بحبيبي وقرة عيني محمد بن عبد الله. And then kisses his two thumbs and places them on his eyes. His eyes shall never ache. The delight of my eyes. It is narrated from the grandson of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba radiyallahu anhu, the person who upon hearing the muazzin announced, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, says, Marhaban bi habibi wa qurrati ayni Muhammad ibn Abdullah, and kisses his thumbs and places them on his eyes, will neither become blind, nor will his eyes ever ache, will not become blind. Sayyiduna Ta'usi rahmatullahi alayhi states that he heard this hadith from Khawaja Shams ad-Din Muhammad bin Abi Nasr al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, the person who upon hearing the words of Shahada from the Muazzin kisses his thumbnails, places them on his eyes and recites this supplication. Allahumma ihfaz hadaqatayya wa noorahuma bi barakati hadaqatay Muhammadir Rasulillahi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama wa noorahuma. Translation: O Allah, protect my two eyes and their light by the blessing of the two blessed eyes of Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and their light will not become blind. The saying of Sayyiduna Khidr alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Muhammad bin Salih al-Madani rahmatullahi alayhi narrates that he heard Sayyiduna Majd Misri rahmatullahi alayhi say, the person who, upon hearing the mention of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during the adhan, sends salat upon him, joins his index finger and thumb, kisses them, and places them on his eyes shall never ache. Sayyiduna Muhammad bin Salih al-Madani rahmatullahi alayhi states, I heard from some mashaykh of Iraq or the non-Arab lands that they said, when placing one's kiss thumbs on one's eyes, one should recite Sallallahu alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulallah, ya Habiba qalbi wa ya Noora basari wa ya Qurrata ayni. May Allah Almighty send mercy and blessings upon you, O my Master, O Messenger of Allah Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, O beloved of my heart, O light of my sight, and O delight of my eyes. Every sheikh amongst them said, since I have been performing this act, my eyes have never ached. From the time I heard this from these noble figures, my eyes have also never been afflicted with pain, and I hope that my eyes will always remain in good health, and insha'Allah, I will be protected from blindness. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله على محمد. The statement of Allama Tahtawi rahmatullahi alayh. Allama Tahtawi rahmatullahi alayh, a great imam and profound scholar of Hanafi jurisprudence from approximately 200 years ago, writes, it is commendable, I mustahab, to say صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, may Allah Almighty send mercy and blessings upon you, upon hearing the first of the prophetic testimonies in the Azan, and upon hearing the second testimony, i.e. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, after placing the thumbs on the eyes, one should recite Qarrat ayni bika ya Rasulullahi Allahumma matti'ni bis sam'i wal basar. O Messenger of Allah, my eyes are delighted by you. O Allah, grant me benefit through my hearing and sight. Then the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will be a leader for that person towards paradise. The acceptance of Shajara Qadiriyya in the prophetic court. It was the 29th of Ramadan al-Mubarak, 1428 AH. A responsible Islamic brother from the Malir Halt area of Karachi, Pakistan, was participating in the collective itikaf at the Global Madani Center of Dawat-e-Islami, Fizan-e-Madina, Karachi. The scene was spiritually moving. After the Fajr prayer, those observing itikaf were blessed to see Amir Ahlus Sunnah, Allama Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Qadri, Damat Barakatumul Aliyah. When the Shajara Aliya Qadriya Radhawiya At-Tariya, a chain of spiritual lineage, began to be recited, that Islamic brother came and sat in the first row. All the devotees of the noble prophet were reciting the poetic devotional verses of the blessed Shajara, together in a loud voice. When the blessed mention of the beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam came, he kissed his thumbs and placed them on his eyes. Suddenly he became drowsy. As his eyes closed, his heart opened. He saw that all the Islamic brothers reciting the blessed Shajara with Amir Ahlus Sunnah were present before the golden lattice of the noble prophet's resting place, and Allah Almighty's beloved prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was blessing his devotees with his vision. The attendees were reciting the supplicatory verses of the Shajara, and the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was raising his blessed hands and saying Ameen to those supplicatory verses. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. Four occasions when thumbs should not be kissed. My dear Islamic brothers, whenever you are blessed with the fortune of saying or hearing the pure name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, kiss the thumbs of both hands without making a kissing sound and place them on your eyes with utmost respect and reverence, with the intention of revering Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. According to some narrations, the tips of the index fingers can also be kissed and placed on the eyes. Insha'Allah, you will receive abundant reward and your sight will be protected. However, there are four such occasions when Imam Ahlus Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Riza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi, states that the thumbs should not be kissed upon saying or hearing the blessed name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Number 1, during prayer. Number 2, during the sermon, ay khutbah. Number 3, during the adhan of the khutbah. And number 4, whilst listening to the recital of the noble Quran. Because the Shari ruling is to listen with complete attention to a khutbah or recital of the noble Quran. Who forbade kissing the thumbs? Imam Ahmad Riza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi mentions a beautiful point about kissing the thumbs upon hearing the name of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in his treatise Munirul Ayni fi hukm taqbil al-ibhamain, which is presented here in a simplified form. Kissing the thumbs of both index fingers and placing them on the eyes upon hearing the pure name of the greatest Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during the adhan is absolutely permissible. There are many proofs for its permissibility. And even if, hypothetically, there was no proof for its permissibility, there is still no proof to declare it impermissible, because it has not been forbidden anywhere in the Sharia. Allah forbid, the one who calls this act impermissible is responsible for providing proof. Let him show where in the Quran, Hadith, or the sayings of the pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, it has been declared forbidden to kiss the thumbs out of reverence upon hearing the name of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In fact, there are many proofs for the permissibility of this act from blessed ahadith, fiqh, the statements of the scholars, and the actions of the pious predecessors. Angels delighting in the pure name of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah Almighty's beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam states, I will come to the door of paradise on the day of judgment and command it to be opened. Ridwan alayhi salam, the angel in charge of the door of paradise, will ask, who are you? I will reply, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He will then say, labbaik, I am at your service. I have been commanded not to open the door of paradise for anyone before you. In the commentary of this hadith, Allama Abdul Ra'uf Al-Munawi rahmatullahi alayh, a scholar from approximately 500 years ago, writes, Sayyiduna Ridwan alayhi salam will ask, who are you? To the master of paradise, the distributor of bounty, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, only so that he may derive pleasure from hearing his blessed name, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Otherwise, one can see through the doors of paradise from one side to the other. He will ask this merely to delight in his blessed name, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Subhanallah, Sayyiduna Ridwan alayhi salam, the keeper of paradise and the angel in charge of its gate, derives pleasure from the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Yet on the other hand, an ignorant person who even claims to be an ummati, i.e. follower of the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, does not understand kissing the thumbs upon hearing the blessed name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. What disloyalty and misfortune this is, when the lips spontaneously meet in a kiss upon the blessed name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then why should we not kiss our thumbs or index fingers, following the blessed practice of our revered father, Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, and the first caliph of Islam, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi writes, Lab par a jata hai jab naam-e janab, muh mein gul jata hai shahd-e nayab, wajd mein ho ke hum ae jaan betab, apne lab choom liya karte hain. When the name of the master comes to the lips, a rare and precious honey dissolves in the mouth. We in spiritual ecstasy, O soul, are overcome with yearning and spontaneously kiss our own lips. Vocabulary, lab, lips. Name Janab, the name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Shahde Nayab, precious honey, which is rare. Wajdme, in spiritual ecstasy, ecstatically. Betab, involuntary. Exegesis of Raza's poetry. When we utter the sweet, beautiful and blessed name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the pure name of Allah Almighty's beloved and final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, its sweetness makes our mouth as sweet as if a very delicious honey were put in it. Not only this, but upon taking the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, our lips also sway with ecstasy and involuntarily kiss one another. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. A rational argument for the reasonable. O devotees of the beloved Prophet, those who read the noble ahadith and books of seerah know the love for the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam held by the honorable companions radiyallahu anhum. These blessed individuals would take care of the sacred relics of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Upon the birth of their children, they would first present them in the prophetic court to attain the blessing of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If children were afflicted with the evil eye or illness, they would request the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam to perform dam, i.e. spiritual healing. The actions of the noble companions radiyallahu anhum are a beacon of guidance for us. Although these actions are not obligatory according to the Sharia, they are also not forbidden by it. Even today, the devotees of the noble saints take their children to the court of the righteous elders, rahimahumullah, to attain their blessings. The tabi'een, i.e. successors, the taba'a tabi'een, i.e. the successors of the successors, and many pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, throughout the centuries showed such forms of reverence and respect for Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, upon which there is no shari' objection. Devotees of the noble Prophet adopt these practices in their love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, following the example of the pious predecessors rahmahumullah, and attain blessings. What shari evidence did the leader of millions of Malikis, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, have that caused him to teach a hadith with such meticulous care by taking a bath, wearing good clothes and applying perfume? Undoubtedly, reverence for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was in his blessed heart, which is why he showed such profound respect and honour to the prophetic ahadith. Not only this, but he did not leave the blessed city of Medina fearing that death might overtake him outside of it, nor would he ride an animal in Medina. Along with his reverence for Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he demonstrated such profound respect and reverence for the city of Medina, something not outwardly reported from any companion. But this reflected his deep love for the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And no scholar of Islam has ever forbidden this form of reverence throughout the centuries, because the Sharia has not prohibited it. Listen about the practices of a few more pious predecessors and increase reverence for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in your hearts. The great Tabi'i pious predecessor Sayyiduna Abu Ayyub al-Sakhtiyani rahmatullahi alayhi was a great devotee of the noble Prophet. When the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was mentioned in his presence, he would weep so profusely that those who saw him were moved to mercy. The shining lamp of the Ahlul Bayt and the great Tabi'i pious predecessor Sayyiduna Imam Jafar as-Sadiq bin Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi was a cheerful and righteous individual. However, when the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was mentioned in his gathering, his blessed complexion would turn pale out of awe and reverence for Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The great Taba Tabi'i pious predecessor Sayyiduna Dirar bin Murra rahmatullahi alayhi states that Al-Salaf as-Salihin, i.e. the pious predecessors, considered it disliked, i.e. makruh, to narrate the noble ahadith without performing wudu. Surely, these pure actions of the pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, were due to their love and reverence for Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Later, scholars wrote them down in their books to increase the awe of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in our hearts. These actions are neither obligatory, i.e. farz, nor necessary, i.e. wajib, according to the Sharia. But they are greatly appealing and faith-inspiring for those who hold the love of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in their hearts. And there is no command in the noble Quran and blessed hadith that forbids them. May Allah Almighty also grant us the ability to listen to and recite the ahadith with wudu. immersed in the love of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and his reverence. How wonderful it would be if we were to kiss our thumbs upon hearing the blessed name of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The loving style of the Turkish devotees of the Holy Prophet. The love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam demonstrated by the Turkish devotees of the beloved Prophet is magnificent. History cannot present an example of the devotion and respect with which the Ottoman Empire carried out the construction and expansion of Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. From the time of the Ottoman Empire, or even earlier, a beautiful style filled with the love of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has also been observed amongst the Turkish devotees of the beloved Prophet, where during conversation, when someone takes the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, these devotees of the beloved Prophet express their ardent love for the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam by lovingly placing their hand on their chest towards the heart. This manner of theirs is certainly one that increases the love of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and refreshes faith in the hearts of the devotees of the beloved Prophet. Alhamdulillah, Amir Ahlus Sunnah Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatul Aliya is a true devotee of the beloved Prophet. When he learned of this style of the Turkish devotees of the beloved Prophet, he also adopted this style. And many Islamic brothers have also adopted this style after seeing him. Furthermore, when some people amongst us greet with salam, they place their right hand on their chest after shaking hands, which has no shari objection. When there is no harm in placing the hand on the chest after offering salam to an ordinary person, then placing the hand on the chest or bowing the head out of reverence upon saying or hearing the pure name of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is indeed an act of great fortune. The pure name of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayhi expressed immense respect and reverence for the pure name of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He writes in his devotional poetry collection Hadaike Bakhshish, Ba adab jukalo sare vila ke main naam loon gulo baagh ka gule tar muhammad e mustafa chaman unka paak diyar hai. Vocabulary: ba with, sare vila head of love or devotion, gule tar fresh flower, chaman garden, diyar city abode. Exegesis of Raza's poetry. O devotees of the noble Prophet, I am about to utter the blessed name of such a supremely great personality who is the original purpose of the universe, and the city where he resides is the jewel of the universe. But I shall take his pure name only when you all respectfully bow your heads in reverence, awe and love for him. So here he is. That personality of honor and glory lives in the most beautiful garden of this universe, Medina, and the fresh flower that fragrances and spreads its scent in that garden is my master Muhammad al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Answers to some doubts regarding kissing the thumbs. Regarding kissing the thumbs out of love and reverence upon hearing the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Satan misleads some people by instilling various doubts. Those who fall prey to these satanic doubts, then try to confuse the simple-hearted devotees of the noble prophet regarding this pure act. Here a few doubts and their cures are presented. Listening to this will cause an increase in knowledge, inshallah. But remember, kissing the thumbs upon hearing the pure name and standing up for salat and salam are actions of those who possess true love, i.e. ishq, the fortunate person whose heart is imbued with the love of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will know the value and rank of these blessed actions. However, for the one who chooses to be distant from it, we can only pray for guidance. You must have seen many people who place their hand on their chest after greeting with salam. Has anyone ever sought a Shari ruling about whether this is permissible or impermissible? People kiss their children's hands, feet and heads out of love and affection. Has anyone ever questioned this, asking where such kissing is written? Yet only when it concerns love and reverence for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam does the thought arise. Where is this written? This is written in the destiny of the devotee of the beloved Prophet. Do you also see a light? Doubt. Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam kissed his thumbs after seeing the light of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in them. Do you also see this light? If not, then why do you kiss them? Answer. Masha Allah, at least one thing is clear from your question. You acknowledge our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as light, i.e. nur, and alhamdulillah, this is proven from the noble Quran and blessed hadith. Now regarding your question of whether we also see the light of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam like Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam did, the response is, why do you perform the istilam of the black stone from a distance whilst performing the rites of Hajj? Why do you throw pebbles at the Jamarat in Mina? Do you see Satan in Mina? And why do you perform the say between Safa and Marwa? Are you also driven by intense thirst? If an honest answer is given, your response will be that since there is great crowd during the tawaf and it is not easy for everyone to kiss the black stone every time, you perform istilam from a distance by acting upon the narrations and using your hands. Similarly, the sunnah of say is performed in memory of Sayyida Hajra rahmatullahi alayha, who out of desperation at the thirst of her young child, Sayyiduna Ismail alayhi salam, ran back and forth repeatedly between the two hills of Safa and Marwa. And Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam threw pebbles three times at Mina upon seeing Satan. Now pilgrims are commanded to perform these blessed acts of those noble figures until the end of time. So when you perform so many acts in the contemplation and memory of those great pious predecessors, then you should also kiss your thumbs in memory of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. What is far-fetched about the possibility that if you sincerely kiss your thumbs with devotion and reverence, mercy might also be bestowed upon you? Kissing thumbs is not proven from any book. Doubt. Kissing the thumbs is not proven from any book. Answer. Have you read all the hundreds of thousands or rather millions of Islamic books that have been written from 1400 years ago until now? You are claiming that it is not written in any book. Surely your answer will be, no, I have not read all the books. The reply is that the details of kissing the thumbs upon the pure name of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is present in the books that you have not yet read. Narrations and traditions regarding this with references have been presented in the preceding pages. Read them and then kiss your thumbs upon hearing the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and encourage others to perform this pious deed so that they may also become deserving of reward. What is the meaning of no sahih hadith? Doubt. There is no authentic sahih hadith regarding kissing the thumbs upon hearing the blessed name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is an innovation, i.e. bidda. Answer. Firstly, please tell us, are there different categories of ahadith that the muhaddithin, rahmahumullah, present explicitly mentioned in the Noble Quran and Blessed Hadith? Your answer will certainly be no. Secondly, did any companion, radiallahu anhu, classify any hadith as sahih, i.e. authentic, hasan, i.e. good, or da'if, i.e. weak? Surely regarding this too, you will say no. So what do you say regarding a matter that is neither in the Noble Quran and Blessed Hadith, nor done by the companions, radiallahu anhum? So why do you persistently demand a sahih hadith? The categories of a hadith that the muhaddithin, rahmahumullah, have presented along with their rules and regulations are new matters. However, since these matters were established due to a shari necessity, there are a good innovation for which these noble figures will continue to receive reward until the day of judgment. No one has objected to this until today, because everyone accepts these rules and terminologies. When you accept and deem correct the terminologies of the science of hadith from the muhaddithin who came after the noble companions radiallahu anhum, then why do you not act upon the narrations which have been mentioned previously concerning kissing the thumbs upon hearing the blessed name of the greatest prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which are reported from several pious predecessors, rahmahumullah, including the noble companions, radiallahu anhum? The ruling of the narration on kissing the pure name and the meaning of sahih hadith. Important point, the meaning of sahih hadith is not right and wrong. Rather, the muhaddithin, rahmahumullah, have stated several categories of a hadith, of which sahih is the highest category. The absence of a sahih hadith regarding kissing the thumbs or index fingers upon hearing the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during the adhan by no means implies that mu'adhallah this hadith is forged, i.e. mawdu. Rather, the people of knowledge know that if a hadith is not sahih, it will belong to another category of hadith. Not all the ahadith in the Siha Sitta, i.e. the six most trusted books of ahadith, Bukhari, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Nisai, Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, are sahih. Rather, due to the majority of them being sahih, these books are collectively called Siha, meaning authentic. The statement, there is no sahih hadith about kissing the thumbs, can be understood in simple words as follows. If someone asks a person, can you fly a plane? And he replies, no. Does this mean that this person cannot drive anything at all? Perhaps he can drive a ship, a train, a truck, a car or a bike. The negation of one thing does not negate everything. For further details, read the treatise of Imam Ahmad Riza Khan, rahmatullahi alayh. Munir al-Ayni fi hukm taqbil al-ibhamain. Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullahi alayh poured forth rivers of knowledge from the science of hadith in this monograph. He wrote this magnificent treatise spanning approximately 200 pages on the topic of kissing the thumbs upon hearing the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam at the age of 29. If someone reads it sincerely, with an open mind full of love, he will kiss his own thumbs upon hearing the blessed name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and will even encourage others to do so. But experience is essential. Is kissing the thumbs upon hearing the pure name a mere folk practice? I totka. Doubt. Kissing the thumbs is not a meritorious act. Rather, it is a type of totka, i.e. folk practice. Answer. Kissing the thumbs upon hearing the name of the greatest prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is not only the sunnah of Sayyiduna Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, but also the sunnah of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam. Moreover, there is a hadith that states, Al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum. Blessing is with your elders. Alhamdulillah, in the ahadith mentioned in this booklet, statements and events concerning the virtues of this blessed action have been related from Sayyiduna Khidr alayhi salam, the noble companions radiyallahu anhum, and the pious predecessors rahimahumullah. Alhamdulillah, this has been the practice of the pious predecessors rahimahumullah for centuries. Therefore, perform this act with the intention of reward, and you will receive reward along with its virtues and worldly benefits, such as protection from blindness and other afflictions. What if glasses are worn despite kissing the thumbs? Doubt. Some people try to instill doubts by saying, look, so and so has been kissing his thumbs for so long, yet his eyesight is weak and he wears glasses. Cure for the doubt. There can be several answers to this doubt. For example, the ahadith encourage the recitation of many specific supplications for various illnesses or problems. If an illness or problem is not solved despite someone's recitation, this does not affect the authenticity of that hadith. Rather, Allah Almighty sometimes tests His servant to see whether His servant continues to recite the litanies, i.e. orad, and spiritual routines, i.e. wazaif, despite this trial. Therefore, instead of criticizing someone, focus your attention on the mercy of Allah Almighty and the grace of His beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. If Allah Almighty wills, all illnesses will be removed. And if Allah Almighty wills to test you, you should remain content with that as well. Is kissing the thumbs obligatory, ay fard? Doubt. You claim that kissing the thumbs upon hearing the blessed name of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is obligatory, i.e. farz, or necessary, i.e. wajib. Answer. Kissing the thumbs and placing them on the eyes upon hearing the blessed name of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam during the azan and iqamah is neither obligatory, i.e. farz, nor compulsory, i.e. wajib, nor sunnah mu'akkida. Rather, it is a commendable act, i.e. mustahab. It is good to do it, but the one who does not do it will not be called a sinner. This is the ruling according to the Ahlus Sunnah, and our proofs rest upon this. However, whoever considers this pure act a sin is himself certainly a sinner, for whoever declares sinful that which the Sharia has not declared sinful becomes a sinner himself. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.